Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we left off last Wednesday night. As we were supposed to do 12 and 13 last Wednesday night, we went through 9 verses of chapter 12. Why don't we just kind of read down through until we get to verse 10 and we'll start. I'll probably reteach this. You know, I shouldn't do that. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. A member of the church at Corinth had written Paul. They had some questions about some stuff. They want to know, they had some confusion at church. The church was real proficient in the gifts, but to a point where it was kind of overboard, and so they wrote asking Paul questions, so he's setting things in order here, all right? I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know what's going on. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Last week we just kind of got off and we talked about this whole truth of tongues, and many of you stood to be baptized in the Holy Spirit last Wednesday night, and I want to reaffirm for you when you asked, you were, okay? We read the verse that says, you know, if you asked if a child now asks his father, you know, of a loaf of bread, he's not going to give him a snake or a scorpion or something. That whole concept there, he's going to give him what he asked for. Even more so, will your heavenly Father give you what you asked for? If you ask for the Holy Spirit, that's what he's going to give you. So we had several of you, and we laid hands on you, and the church laid hands on you, and you prayed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you were at that time. Now we discuss that being baptized in the Holy Spirit is simply an outflow of the Spirit that's already in us, because when you're saved, the Holy Spirit is in you, but then there's that outflowing where we learn to rely upon him and he can work through us. And we dealt with great detail on that. When we get to chapter 14, we'll get into more detail about the gift of tongues and the interpretation. Well, it's mentioned here in chapter 12, but in chapter 14, it goes into great detail. And we'll kind of explain to you when we get to that chapter why we do what we do here and why we don't do what we do here publicly. There are reasons, and those reasons are taken out of chapter 14 of the book of 1 Corinthians. We try to follow that, and so I'll be answering some of your questions in that, you know. So that's where that is. So we believe that all the gifts are valid for today, all the gifts God uses today. We also realize that as we begin to look at these, that the gifts were not given for us to have parlor games or to entertain each other. The gifts were given to us to be used in ministry, basically on the street, in our day-to-day walks, at the office, on the job, at the factory, at the school, you know, in our homes. God gives us the gifts to use in ministry, okay? And we learn to function those gifts in our smaller groups when we learn, and we will be doing, when we get through with Book of 1 Corinthians, we will be doing some times where we'll be doing some training and some things so people can be comfortable with the exercise of their gifts of the Spirit as they walk through this life, because like I said last week, I'm not going to get past verse 10 again. Like I said last week, I really believe in these last days we will not make it unless we are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. It's going to be tough times. We see that. I mean, if you're not seeing what's going on, you have your head in the sand somewhere. We're going to go through some tough times. I really believe, this is my opinion, I really believe the church is going to go through some heavy persecution in these last days. I believe we're going to see that if the Lord doesn't take us out first. You can just see everybody's, you know, loading their guns to take shots at the church right now. And it's only just begun. And you're not going to survive. I won't survive. We won't survive unless we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I think that's why God, we just go verse by verse through the Bible, and he happens to have us in this section at this time. Okay, what a coincidence. All right. So that's where we are. Okay, verse 10, let's do that again. To another the working of miracles. That's to see God perform some supernatural phenomena. Jesus healed. He walked on the water. He fed the 5,000. To another, prophecy. You know, we can really define that as simply, it's so easy to be a spokesman for God. Now, this may involve telling the future, but only because God knows the future. All right? Or it may be just forthtelling. It's not always foretelling. It's forthtelling, prophecy, speaking the word of God, and we are all called to do that. All right? Discerning of spirits. We'll get into prophecy and tongues interpretation in great detail in chapter 14. Discerning of spirits to another. Discerning of spirits to be able to tell if someone is from the Lord or not. I think it has something to do with discerning people's attitudes and motives a lot. Discerning of spirits. Haven't there been times when you've been talking to somebody or dealing with somebody and something comes up and you just know in your spirit that the motive isn't right? I mean, the words may be there and they may be saying the right things, but you just, as you're watching, you know, that's the Spirit of God working in you. Understand the Spirit is working in you. And all I'm asking you is to recognize that. I'm not trying to do any super hyper thing here and get you hyped up and let's move in the. God is working in the Spirit, working in you through His Spirit right now, every day of your life. And He will give you discernment of spirits. He will show you those things. You know, remember over in Acts chapter 8, beginning of the verse 18. You might want to turn there. I think I put it on the PowerPoint. Chapter 8, Acts, verse 18. Listen to this. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me the power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." You know, Peter discerned that. I mean, what the guy was asking wasn't that far off, but Peter discerned that his motive wasn't right. It wasn't that he wanted to use this gift for the furtherance of the gospel or to expand the kingdom nor to help the people's lives. He wanted to use this gift so that he could be exalted, so that he could be, you know, puffed up and people would say really cool things about him. And you even see people in ministry. You can discern right away, you know, where the motive is and who's being exalted. Man, I just, one of my favorite passages of Scripture is when John the Baptist, you know, at the baptism of Jesus, man, when he made that incredible statement, and he said, "I must decrease that he may increase." And isn't that true for all of us? We must become less and less so Jesus can become more and more. Now, that just doesn't mean that, you know, I become a non-essential, so Jesus can be exalted. I mean, even in my own, I think he's talking about even in our own lives. If Jesus is to become more and more through me, I need to become less and less. I need to begin to take a back seat. I need to say, "Jesus, you go for it. You go, God. You know, and you take the lead and you do what you're supposed to do. And I want to do less and less of me, and I want to see more and more of you working through me." I believe that's part of it. But it's a lot of times you can discern when people aren't doing that, man. And I think that's a discernment of spirits. Then it says tongues. That's the ability to speak in a language that you did not know by ordinary means. And that language may be either human or angelic. We'll see that when we get to chapter 13, verse 1. Interpretation, and we'll get that great detail again in chapter 14, but suffice it to say at this point that's not translating an unknown tongue, but it's to give the meaning. It's an interpretation. And as we work on these things and we grow in some of these things, you need to understand the interpretation will not always be as long as the tongues and vice versa, because it's interpretation. It's not a translation. It's primarily to give an understanding to what God has said. And I believe in these days we're going to need more reliance upon the Holy Spirit. And I believe that means we need to be more open in our individual lives, in our believers' gatherings, our times together, where we give emphasis for the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do in our lives, so that we can understand what it means to be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because, again, I don't think we'll make it on our own. So we're just telling it like it is, man. Great detail later. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individual as he wills. So it's the Holy Spirit's job to give gifts as he wants to whom he wants to. For as the body, verse 12, is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. The word baptized there, it means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge. It would be like a vessel sinking. You know, to cleanse by dipping something and submerging it in some water, to wash it. To make clean with water, to wash something off, to overwhelm. Now, this baptism by the Holy Spirit that's talking about here takes place when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, when we become believers. The Holy Spirit comes, indwells inside of us, and at that moment, we become part of the body, the church. At that moment, no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Spirit gives him utterance. That's the Spirit enables him to do that. So, you know, when we are saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. We cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. He does the work. We receive the Holy Spirit when we're saved. Okay? For in fact, the body is not one member but many. So the body is made up of many parts. Now that's he's making this, now this is the church, all right? The church is made up of many parts. Verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Your sense of belonging. Somebody just told me just recently that they weren't connecting here anymore or whatever. You need to understand that your sense of belonging has nothing to do with being like everybody else. You know, when we were teenagers, when we were in high school, we felt we belonged because we would get in our groups, we'd get in our cliques, we'd get in our car clubs or whatever your era was, and you would get in your group, a certain crowd, and we acted like them and we dressed like them and we talked like them, we went the same places together, and so we felt that we belonged because we could talk like them and act like them and dress like them. Right? But in the body of Christ, we need each other's differences. There is nothing better in the body than becoming, just being who you are. I tell at every wedding that I do, I tell every couple, you know, I say, now wait, the greatest gift you will ever give each other is to allow the other person to be themselves. And so what we do many times is we get married and all of a sudden we begin our project. We've had it in the back of our mind all the time. You know, she's really cool. She's about 98% there, but that other 2%, I've got to adjust. And so we begin to change and manipulate and work around, because if she could just get over that part of her that doesn't agree with me. But then after you say I do and get home, you realize it was much more than 2% anyway. All right. You get home and you see, and you say, I thought you said I do. Yeah, I did, but I don't anymore. Let's just get it straightened out here, man. Okay. And so the freedom is to allow the other, that's who you fell in love with. You don't want the other person to be just like you. You're boring. You need, I told you the time that the lady came in, one of those times when you just, something comes out of your mouth and it's not your fault. Have you had those times? It was just, all of a sudden, it just plops out, and you'd, where did that come from, you know? Guys, I was doing a marriage seminar somewhere. It wasn't here, and I was doing a marriage seminar somewhere, and I was talking about differences, and I was talking about, you know, all that kind of stuff, and that you're going to have differences, and you're going to have arguments, you're going to have those things. That's how we grow. And this lady came up to me and says, "I'm sorry, I disagree with you." And I said, "Well, you have that right. You know, you can be wrong. What do you disagree with?" And she said, "My husband and I have been married for over 20 years, and we have not had one argument. Nothing. I did not plan to say what came out of my mouth. It just fell out of my mouth, and it was not my fault. It was just one of those times, not with thinking, it just came out." And I said, "Who said that?" But it came out, and it said, "And how long has he been in the coma?" Yeah. He just, you know. You're going to have disagreements, man. Do you want to be married to somebody that's always just going to want everything to do everything your way? Man, that's no fun. I mean, there has to be some give and take and some discussion and some, you know, some little stuff going on there, man. So in the body of Christ, we are all in the process of being conformed to the image of Jesus, none of the image of each other. Okay? And so you need to understand that. Comfortable to be different. If you can't do something, stop trying to do it. And find somebody else who's been gifted to do that. Is that making sense? You know? If you can't do it, man, find that person in the body that can. Let them do it. It's okay. We need to somehow get to the point where the competition is gone in the body of Christ. Where we're just all doing what God has called us to do and we're being who we are. Where are we? Verse 18. "But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he has pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." We need each other. Okay, we need each other. And every part of the body is absolutely essential. Every part of the body is essential. And no part of the body is more important than any other part of the body. We are all, God has strategically, and I believe this with my whole heart, strategically before the foundations of the world, he put this family together. Now, he didn't make you do what you did to get here, but he knew what you were going to, I'm going to blow your minds, but he knew what you were going to do. Don't ask me any questions afterward, Pastor Chris will answer all these questions, okay? But because he's really good on that old predestination nonsense, okay? So he knew what you were going to do, so he knew, and he has it all, he sees it all, even though he doesn't cause it all, he sees it all. And so he, before the foundation of the world, he put this body together. He put you here specifically with your gifts, your abilities, and your talents. And this body will not function properly unless you are doing what God has created you to do. It's that simple. If all of a sudden, you know, my hand begins to rebel and it says, you know, I'm just going to do this from now on. Okay? That hurt, man. I'm just going to do that from now on, man, or whatever. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to do that. And it isn't going to function properly. Because all of a sudden it decided it's going to do what it wants to do. Well, my body is not going to function properly. Now, in the body of Christ, if we are not all doing what God has called us to do, the body will not be whole and the body will not function properly. Because that's the way God has called us. We need each other. God does not make Lone Ranger Christians, man. God does not make, he did not save us to be isolated by ourselves. He saved us to put us in a family and to function in that family. That's why I tell everybody, man, that I see that comes here, they come to me and say, you know, we're not sure we're supposed to, we're praying about where we're supposed to be and whatever. I tell the church that. Pray where you're supposed to be, man. Where's your family, then be there? And then stick it through with that family. Ask God. I believe God places the congregation in the church as well as he places the leadership and the teachers, the pastors, all that. I believe he does that. Because he's putting the body together to function together. Now, I found where I'm supposed to be because he put me here 36 years ago. Now, you need to find where you're supposed to be. If it's here, you've prayed, God, where am I supposed to be? Then you need to be here because you're part of this family. If you're not supposed to be here, find out where you're supposed to be and be there and plug in there. Make sense? It's not a matter where you feel good. I mean, I could look at the family that I was raised in, and my dad is here, and I had a great family, but during that time we were, as being raised, we were not a rich family. We were, you know, kind of a poor family, and I could have looked around and, well, I had some friends that were very wealthy. Dad, I'd rather be in that family. Corky just turned 16 and his dad bought him a new Corvair. You mostly don't even know what that is, you know, but you know what that was? Engine in the back? Yeah. Very strange car. Didn't last very long. It was air-cooled, right? Instead of water-cooled, and they would burn up. And anyway, but Corky's dad bought him one when he turned 16, you know. And so I could have said, you know, I like that family over there. Maybe he could become my dad and buy me a Corvair. But see, I couldn't do that. I'm in the family. My dad gave me a car when I turned. He gave me a 1949 Chevy. Remember that? It was your car, and he gave me that 49 Chevy, man. We fixed it all. And I went, yeah, want to see pictures of my Ford? No, you don't want to see it. It was lowered, and it was chopped. It was really nice. Anyway, and we did that. We worked together. Anyway, where was I? No, Lone Ranger. You want to hear about my Chevy? Lone Ranger, okay? He didn't create us to be by ourselves. He created us to be part of a family of God. And if you don't know where you're supposed to be functioning and where you fit, you need to get on your face and say, God, use me, man. Maybe it's just praying. Not just, excuse me, forgive me. Maybe it's praying. Maybe it's doing whatever, but you need to be doing your part in the family or the church will not be functioning to its fullest. Verse 22, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. We take care of our bodies and give honor to the uncomely parts by giving them special clothes. Our comely parts, that means the things that we allow to be more visible, we don't bother covering up. The point is, in our bodies, we naturally take care to give honor to certain parts of the body that are feeble or uncomely. Yet in the church, we often do that totally backward. We're often giving special honor to the upfront parts of the body, like the pastors or the musicians, when they have already had all the honor they need, especially the musicians. Pastors could use them, but the musicians... Perhaps we ought to give honor, more honor to the hidden parts of the body. Huh? Like those who clean the bathrooms, like those who change the diapers of the little kids, like, you know, or, you know, those kinds of things. Those who, you know, just do the stuff you never see. Maybe they should receive the honor. Maybe we've got that all messed up. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, verse 26. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Paul sets up here an order of importance of the ministries in the church. Those who really want to exalt the tongues to beyond where it's supposed to be, better be careful. Tongues are wonderful, very beneficial, but keep in mind it's at the end of the list. Okay. And I believe they're beneficial. I've explained, you know, they edify us and edify myself and so forth, but let's keep it where it's supposed to be. Did you notice when one member hurts, we all hurt? Doesn't say we all ought to. We do. Whether we recognize it or not, man. When people are hurting in the body of Christ, when there is need, we hurt. We may not always know why, but we hurt. When we see things visible when the body is hurting, when parts of the body are hurting, then it's a visible hurt, we need to go to that hurt and minister to it. We need to pray for Steve and Kelly Wynn, Kelly's 25-year-old daughter who was in a off-road accident, went home to be with the Lord. And Kelly and Steve are very, you know, part of this church, and we need to be ministering to them, okay, at this time of loss. She had to make some decisions to take off life support and stuff. Kelly does. Good, tough time, all right? So we need to minister to them and pray for them. If you don't know who they are, pray for them. You think about it when you get home. Oh, man. Kelly, Casey. Oh, man, yeah. If you don't remember the names, just pray for those, that mother and who lost her daughter and so forth, okay? See, because that's what the body does. Now, have you ever gotten out of bed in the middle of the night and kicked your little toe in the dresser? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever done that? Whoa, baby, does that hurt, man. Now, what happens when you kick that little toe into the dresser? What happens? What do you do immediately? Your whole body begins to minister that little toe, does it not? You grab your foot, you're hanging onto it, you're jumping around on the other foot, you fall off on the bed, you wake up your wife, honey, I'm dying here, I broke it, I broke the whole foot, and you know, because you're ministering to that toe because it hurts so bad. That's what the body of Christ is all about. When we see people hurting, we need to minister in just that way. Somebody do that for me? Thank you, that quick. All right. We need to be, you know, that cognizant of the needs and be ministering to those needs on a constant basis, guys. That's what we're supposed to be doing, man. And we look at the most uncomely parts. We look at our little toes. And I'm a toe guy. And, you know, I don't know whether I've ever really seen a good-looking little toe or not. Now, some of you are wearing flip-flops tonight, and you're putting your feet under your chairs right now. I'm noticing. Anyone's looking at my toes. Okay. I don't know if there are any good-looking little toes, man. And they're not very comely, and they're just there, and they're just hanging out. And, you know, what good is that little toe, man? It's your whole body ministered to it. You know what that little toe does? God, everything God does in our bodies is for a reason. That little toe is there for balance, and it brings balance. And there's a lot of little toes in the body of Christ, man. And you bring balance. And you need to bring balance. So you need to seek God and say, God, what are you calling me to do, man? What is my part? What am I supposed to be doing? And then find that and do it, because nobody else will do what you have been called to do. At least do it in the way that God created you to do it, whatever that is. And he made no mistakes, absolutely made no mistakes. There are no errors. You know, when you were born, when you got saved, you didn't go, oops. Whew. What could they do in the body? Maybe I'll just hurt them. Kill them. Bring them home to heaven, because there's nothing to do in the body. And of course not. He created you with purpose, man. He wants to use you. She's worried about I'm going to kill some people. Verse 26. Oh, we did that. If one member suffers. Okay, we did that. We're going to do that again. Verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? In the Greek, Paul is asking a question that demands a no. It's the obvious answer. It's not because the Corinthian church was carnal that everyone didn't speak with tongues. It's because God gives gifts to whomever he wants to. When the church comes together, we form the body of Christ. And all of our gifts, maybe this will help. All of our gifts together is like having Jesus in our midst with us. Okay? So if all of the gifts aren't functioning, we're not here, then in chapter 11, we talked about it, and he said that when he was talking about communion, and he got this from the Lord, and he said, you know, and there are some weak among you, there are some sick, there are some asleep, because, remember the reason? Because you have not discerned the Lord's body. Two things. I think number one, you have not appropriated everything Jesus Christ did for you on the cross and his resurrection. you've not appropriated. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. We have not appropriated everything Jesus Christ has done for us. And because of that, there are many who are weak and sick, and many have died because we have not appropriated everything that God has given us. The other part of that is the body of Christ. You have not discerned the Lord's body. You know, there are gifts of healing in this church. Do you understand why many times I have us hold hands when we pray? I'm not trying to get some of you guys and gals together. You know, that's not what I'm doing. There's something happens in the body of Christ. You know, there are gifts of healing in this church. There are people that can work miracles in this church. There are discerning spirits in this church. People, and nobody has titles, and we don't parade them in front of people, and we really don't even need to know who they are. They just function in that. And when we pray together, gifts of healing, well, you're standing next to somebody and God has placed you in that proximity. Do you understand God's in control of everything? You sat where you sat, but you understand God had something to do with who you're sitting next to tonight. And when you're, you know, holding hands or something, the gift of healing in that person can, you know. You guys don't really want to sit next to each other, do you? Okay. Just blame God for it, man. Okay. So, you know, it's, and when we don't allow that to happen, the gifts of the Spirit aren't functioning and we're not receiving the healings and the things that we could receive from the body of Christ. See, in these last days, I'm telling you, my friend, I'm a candidate for God to begin to move in my life in the miraculous ways he always used to move, and then I became comfortable for many years and just kind of went through the motions. But I'm telling you, these last days, I'm a candidate for God to perform miracles. I'm a candidate for God to move in my life. I'm a candidate for God to do everything he wants to do in my life so that Jesus can be exalted and hell gates can be knocked down. Calvary Chapels were designed in the first place. This is what Pastor Chuck Smith will tell you. They were designed in the first place, he believes, to be a balance between hyper-Pentecostalism and dead orthodoxy or a Baptist tradition. Somewhere in the middle. Somehow, we've got comfortable. We're no longer in the middle many times. We've got comfortable with one side or the other, and mostly the side of not allowing God to do what he wants to do in our lives. Now, we're not, relax, we're not going to weirdness here, you know. Maybe a little. You know. But we need to get to that side of allowing God in our lives to do what he wants to do. Anybody, are you a candidate for that? Don't you want God to be in control? I don't want to be another Baptist church on the corner. I mean, it's great seeing people get saved, and it's wonderful, and this church is growing like crazy. I'll just tell you, you know, beginning January, the first Sunday in January, we're adding a fourth Sunday morning service. We have to because there's no room in Sunday school. There's no room in here. There's no room in junior high. All the classes, they have no room to put another kid in the 9 and 11 o'clock services, all that. We don't hardly have any room in here. So we're going our same time, 7:30, 9, 11, and 1 o'clock. You know, and that's cool. I mean, I think it's great. It's wonderful because God is moving and people are being saved and things are going on. But, you know, we have to come back to our roots. And our roots are, it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And if anything's going to get done, it's not because we have the money. It's not because we have churches of 10 or 15 or 20,000 people in them. It's not because we have all the high-tech stuff going on. It's not because we've written all the books. It's not because we have radio ministries all over the world and we're sending ministries everywhere. None of that is the reason. All that stuff's okay, but none of that's the reason. The reason, the power comes from the Spirit of God, and we need to get back to that place where we're relying on the Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us in everything that we do. Yeah. That was extremely good preaching, by the way. For a guy that only teaches, that was really good preaching. I'm going to have to go home and take a nap before I go to bed. But, okay. You know, couple of questions. Let's deal with them. We talk about all these diversities of gifts. the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then they're listed other places, and there's some others added and so forth. Now, how do they categorize? What are we going to do, Chuck? Do we take tests? We pass out some tests. You take tests, and then we go through them, and we decide by the power of the Spirit as we discern these tests who is the resident prophet and who is the resident healer and all that stuff. Can anybody have more than one gift? Or can we only have one gift? Or can anybody have all nine gifts? Or you know what I believe about the gifts of the Spirit? I believe that every gift of the Spirit is available to every born-again believer, Spirit-filled believer, whenever that believer needs that particular gift. Isn't that more comfortable? If you need the gift of discerning of spirits in a situation, ask Jesus. He will give you that gift of the discerning of spirits. If a gift of healing is needed, you don't need to call the resident healer in the body of Christ, and you're in the hospital room or you're in an accident scene and you need to pray for somebody. You pray believing that God will empower you and give you the gift that's needed right then. You need a word for somebody. You need a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. You don't have to try to find that person in the church. You can be open for the gift, for that gift to function in your life through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I believe every believer can use every gift when the need arises if they will yield to the Holy Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit are not for just entertainment or sideshows. And then I got to be careful here because my background. I never want to just react from my background. I want to learn from that. I had a great heritage. But I want to bring things in order according to the Word of God in my own life and in the life of this church that I pastor. And so all I'm saying is everybody here, God can use you in whatever situation. And God's not out to embarrass you. God will bring people into your life you're supposed to share with. You didn't have to bring them here and have one of the pastors share with them. Oh, this guy's ready to get saved. You want to talk to him, Chuck? Nope. It's your friend. You need to talk to him, man. I will help you. We'll teach you. Absolutely. I wouldn't do that to you if you brought somebody to me. But I'm saying it's God wants to use you. He has used you in gifts, and you don't even know it. You've had conversations with people, and you have said things in that conversation that people have went, whoa, how'd you know that? How'd I know what? I don't know much of anything. How'd I know what? Well, you just said, man, that's my answer. Well, you're welcome. What did I say? God gave you a word of knowledge there, or a word of wisdom. He'll give you words of knowledge, and he'll show you something about somebody, and you know, and use that. If you're wrong, I made a mistake. I'll work on it. Am I making sense to anybody at all? God tells you to pray for somebody, you better pray for them. God tells you to go somebody and say, hey, bro, you doing okay? I want to pray with you. You better do it, man. That's what the body of Christ is all about. Spectator time is over. You know, we need to get out on the field and start being in the game. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for church. It's anxiously awaiting his appearing. And I'll tell you what, I want to be busy when he comes back. I want to be busy about my Father's business. He's calling his church anytime. And read the word. This week's prophecy didn't get out, and I made sure that Jen made some copies for tonight, man. Some of the things that are on this week's prophecy is going to absolutely blow your minds. Some things that are happening right now. Some things through the administration and some of the players in this and things going on in Israel through some of the players in the cabinet that we've even heard mentioned in the last couple of days, all involved in some things in the Middle East. When you're just going to, all of a sudden, it's just, we're out of here. Okay? We're going to be gone. So, but we need to be busy in the meantime, man. But earnestly, verse 31, desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. What are the best gifts? Whatever gift is needed at the moment. Desire whatever gift is needed at that moment in your life. That's the best gift. Very simple. Spiritual gifts are very, very, very important. God does not want us ignorant. Verse 1, I don't want you ignorant of spiritual gifts. But don't think the spiritual gifts cause maturity, because Paul called the believers in Corinth babes. They were really active in the gifts, but he says, you guys are babes. You don't have a clue of what it means to be a mature believer. And he goes into chapter 13, and no, we're going to go into worship now, so relax. I never do as much as I plan on doing. I want to do 12, 13, and 14. Last week, I was going to do 12, 13, and 14 together, okay? But it ain't going to happen. Okay. But he says, but desire the greatest. The greatest gift is what? Love. Faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these three is what?
Love.
Oh, don't have to yell at me. Jesus, we love your word. Lord, I so love your church. I'm so thankful that you designed your church the way you did. Without a huge hierarchy and without a lot of pomp and circumstance, just a bunch of folks that by your grace you have seen to touch and to bring into your family. And Lord, we are so, so grateful for that. Thank you for interrupting our lives one day, revealing to us who you are. Thank you for never letting us down, sweet Savior. So we choose to honor you now for a while, Lord, as we choose to worship and praise you. And as we do that, Holy Spirit, I would ask, if there are any here that have any questions about their part in the body, or you know, maybe it's just a matter, you're not even going to define it. Maybe it's just a matter of just getting busy. Just whenever a need arises, they take care of it, Lord. Maybe there's a bunch of utility players here tonight, Lord, that it'll just never maybe be defined, but they'll be doing their part in the body, Lord. And we have been weak because not all of us have discerned your body, Lord. We want you to show us what that means. We want in these last days for the world to say about the early church, instead of what they're saying about us today, that they would say about the early church in Antioch, as they said, these people are looking and acting like that Jesus guy. And they began to call your people Christians, little Christs. Lord, the heart's desire tonight is that people would begin to say about us, they're acting like that Jesus. These are little representatives of Christ. Forgive us for becoming churchy. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for many times just becoming religious. And Lord, we love the church and we want to do the things that religion would dictate, as your word says, to visit those in jail and all that stuff, Lord. But we just want to be your people, doing what you've called us to do. You've designed your church to function in a certain way, and we want to be part of that church, Lord. So speak to us here tonight. I know you have some ministry for some folks here, Lord. Show them. Open up ministry, God. Put this body together the way that you want it, sweet Jesus. Thank you. We choose to worship you tonight. Stand with me, would you please? We're going to worship for a while. Your kids are